to free your captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice. To you shall come Emmanuel.
Oh.
And even Emmanuel, captive whom soul is. Gemet in exilio, privatus de
this Thursday, December 15th, 2022, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. I think it's interesting what has happened over the course of this week. I started out to talk about The Chosen a little bit because I think it's time, I suppose. I haven't felt convicted or compelled to do that before, but I have this week. Maybe we'll talk about that some more, but it's interesting what has kind of come out of the woodwork, I think, in conjunction with all of that. So probably continue on with that. Housekeeping to begin. We will be closed. RBN will be closed for the holidays. Closed for business over Christmas and New Year. So from December 23rd until December 26th, and then again on New Year's, January 1 and January 2, closed for business. So enjoying the holidays or the holy days, as the case may be. And perhaps you've heard we're having a book drive, RBN's John Stadmiller book drive. Now through January 8th, donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by the big guy, John Stadmiller himself. Winners are announced every Sunday evening during hour two of Off the Beaten Path with Steve Elkins, entrants who do not win a book will carry over into the next week's drawing. So, as I always say, the sooner you enter, the greater the odds of winning. Congratulations to past winners, Robert, Tyler, David, Ingrid, Gary, Sharon. Thank you all for your generosity in supporting the network. And all donations are always much appreciated and gratefully received. Thank you to everyone for keeping RBN and the Big Guy's legacy alive. This is week six, and week six book is The Web of Debt, The Shocking Truth About Our Money System and How We Can Break Free, published in 2008 by Ellen Hodgson Brown. And so there is that bit of housekeeping, or what have you. 10 days until Christmas, there's that also. And 17 days until New Year's. But actually, it's less than that, isn't it? It's more like 9 days, 14 hours, 53 minutes, 21 seconds or so until Christmas. And 16 days, 14 hours, 53 minutes and change until New Year's. Yikes. It's going fast. Is it me or is it going fast? Movies. It's that day. It's the Family Stone Day. On this day in 2005, the Family Stone was released, and so it's today's movie, The Family Stone. And of course, you see the scene from Meet Me in St. Louis, which was, what day was that? I forget what day that was. Oh, that was Saturday, December 3rd, that day. So The Family Stone is today's movie, and one of my all-time favorites. Pretty touching. So that's that bit of housekeeping. So here we are. Moving right along. Actually, speaking of housekeeping, yesterday at the end of the broadcast, speaking of Paul's writings, I said Paul's writings comprise 2/3 of the New Testament. That's not true. 13, maybe 14 out of 27 books of the New Testament. So half, obviously. And speaking of that and Paul's authorship, we'll dive into that bit, but first I want to offer you Oswald Chambers' today's entry in My Utmost for His Highest. Yesterday's was good too. I didn't mention that yesterday. Maybe I'll do that in the second hour. I don't know. We'll see. So yesterday's entry is the one that I am first. Yeah. That's where we will start. So yesterday's entry, December 14, is titled The Great Life. And citing John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled. Oswald Chambers writes, whenever a thing becomes difficult in personal experience, we are in danger of blaming God. But it is we who are in the wrong, not God. There is some perversity somewhere that we will not let go. Immediately we do, everything becomes as clear as daylight. As long as we try to serve two ends, ourselves and God, there is perplexity. The attitude must be one of complete reliance on God. When once we get there, there is nothing easier than living the saintly life. Difficulty comes in when we want to usurp the authority of the Holy Spirit for our own ends. Whenever you obey God, His seal is always that of peace, the witness of an unfathomable peace, which is not natural, but the peace of Jesus. Whenever peace does not come, tarry till it does, or find out the reason why it does not. If you are acting on an impulse or from a sense of the heroic, the peace of Jesus will not witness. There is no simplicity or confidence in God, because the spirit of simplicity is born of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, not of your decisions. Every decision brings a reaction of simplicity. My questions come whenever I cease to obey. When I have obeyed God, the problems never come between me and God. They come as probes to keep the mind going on with amazement at the revelation of God. Any problem that comes between God and myself springs out of disobedience. Any problem, and there are many, that is alongside me while I obey God, increases my ecstatic delight, because I know that my Father knows, and I am going to watch and see how he unravels this thing. So that's pretty marvelous, I would say. And that, I think, will reemerge later in today's broadcast. You know what? I'm gonna include today's as well, because it's apropos for some of the unpacking. December 15th, approved unto God, quoting 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Chambers writes, if you cannot express yourself on any subject, struggle until you can. If you do not, someone will be the poorer all the days of his life. Struggle to re-express some truth of God to yourself, and God will use that expression to someone else. Go through the winepress of God where the grapes are crushed. You must struggle to get expression experimentally. Then there will come a time when that expression will become the very wine of strengthening to someone else. But if you say lazily, I am not going to struggle to express this thing for myself, I will borrow what I say, the expression will not only be of no use to you, but of no use to anyone. Try to state to yourself what you feel implicitly to be God's truth, and you give God a chance to pass it on to someone else through you. Always make a practice of provoking your own mind to think out what it accepts easily. Our position is not ours until we make it ours by suffering. The author who benefits you most is not the one who tells you something you did not know before, but the one who gives expression to the truth that has been dumbly struggling in you for utterance. So it is kind of along that line that, you know, I guess we continue on with some of this Bible related stuff. And it's interesting, you know, this is not typically an exegetical sort of broadcast. It's not intended to be that. It's, you know, enlighten the people generally. And the Bible related stuff lately has been specifically framed in the context of kind of a historical backdrop, and how we've had our own Western history for the last 2,500 years at least has been pregnant with the germ of Western esotericism. And there's a commingling of things, and that really, I think, comes to the fore around this time of year. From, say, Halloween on, you talk to people and say, what do you suppose about Halloween as a Christian holiday? People look at you cross-eyed. A Christian holiday? Yeah, jump on Wikipedia, for example, and see that it's listed as a Christian holiday. Why do you suppose that is? Very strange. Or Easter with the bunnies and the eggs. And do bunnies lay eggs, or is that a fertility ritual? And, you know, all of the fun things that go along with that. Christmas, obviously, same thing. And Is it the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, or is it a Saturnalia festival? Well, it's a little bit of both. So we see that this time of year. And so it's gotten more biblically focused, I suppose, especially with talking about the Chosen and some other peripheral things that have happened, particularly this week. I want to dive into Dave's call yesterday a little bit and back to Tom's question on Tuesday, what is the law of Moses? I want to talk about that because especially this time of year, it's relevant, which calls to mind the music, I suppose. Chris, why do you keep playing that song? You know, you keep for several days, last couple of weeks, you've played that song over and over by different artists. O Come, Emmanuel. And it's Advent music. That's what it is. So, what is the Advent? Noah Webster tells us in simple terms, before we get it twisted, did Chris turn Catholic? No. The Advent, Advent is a coming, appropriately the coming of our Savior, and in the calendar it includes four Sabbaths before Christmas, beginning of St. Andrew's Day around the end of November, you know, November 30, basically, or on the Sabbath next, before or after it. It is intended as a season of devotion with reference to the coming of Christ in the flesh. That's the first coming, and his second coming to judge the world. He said the first time around, I judge no man, but he's coming again in the clouds with power and great glory and to judge the living and the dead. That's going to happen. So that is the kind of the story of the Advent in a nutshell. And that is not a legalistic thing. That's just, you know, a Romans 14 kind of thing. I think we lack reverence in today's America. And so hopefully the music sets a tone of reverence and reflection and an appropriate fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge and all kinds of good things. It seems we are sorely lacking in that department these days. So there's the explanation of the music and Advent, just at least in a nutshell. And I want to get back to the article by T.A. McMahon over at the Berean Call, because I think it applies in a broader context, not just to the Chosen, obviously. He makes a very valid case for questioning all of these movies that portray biblical events. It's a challenging thing, you know, because you're going to take creative license, as T.A. McMahon points out, having been spent years in Hollywood. It's part of the script writing process to take creative license. And so, as I mentioned yesterday, during yesterday's broadcast, the creators of The Chosen, for example, have admitted they take creative license. No one disputes that. Everyone acknowledges that. But where is the line? And who exercises the discernment to see that this clearly is extra biblical and this is, you know, this is drawn from scripture, but this is not? Does that happen during the watch parties? Just something to think about. Stick around, we'll be right back.
So Republicans will control the House and Trump is running for president again. Now what? I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system before cold and flu season. What can we hope for from a Republican-controlled House of Representatives? Well, if history is an example, not much. Maybe instead of bills spending $2 trillion at a time, maybe they'll only spend $1.5 trillion. Government accounts for 57% of our nation's gross domestic product. That means that every taxpayer works from January 1st through July 27th just to feed our massive, bloated, overgrown government. If we wanted to get anywhere near a balanced budget, we would have to cut spending, all spending, by nearly 25%. The last time a president was elected to cut spending, Reagan was only able to cut the growth of spending. The Uniparty in D.C. has created an uncontrollable monster. It no longer matters whether Democrats or Republicans are in charge. The monster will continue to be fed with your money and your liberty. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time. Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns among the exile here until the Son of God. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Welcome back. In all of this stuff, the conversation about the chosen, Tom's question about the law of Moses, Dave's taking issue with the writings of Paul, above all, I would say John 1:17 applies with force. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And that's apparently a difficult concept to process for some. Apparently the law is comfortable for some, and the problem is that the law won't save. You know, perfect though it is, weak though it is inferior to Jesus Christ. So, you know, that kind of gets into the subject of the law of Moses, you know, which in simple terms requires a blood sacrifice, shedding of blood for the remission of sin, and We saw that up until the New Testament, and Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. He is the propitiation and the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate blood sacrifice. And so now the blood sacrifice is no longer necessary. In fact, one could argue that doing so is blasphemous because Jesus already made the ultimate sacrifice. So to re-crucify him, so to speak, or to continue on with the sacrifice as though he didn't die on the cross is obviously somewhat of a denial and a usurpation of what God has done. So it's an interesting concept, interesting time, this time of year, as the birth of Jesus Christ is obviously in view during this season. And so that's something that maybe we will explore, pursue a little bit further. I saw a commercial, which, you know, this is sort of wandering a bit, but not really, not necessarily. Dallas Jenkins is excited about Advent too. He too is excited about Advent. And partnering with Hallow, the prayer app. And so my question is, who decides? It's always the question. Who decides? And I know that we've been, you know, if you listen to the commentary and the interviews and things, there's prayer at some point, but to what extent exactly? And this sort of calls to mind the Oswald Chambers entry I read earlier for December 14, yesterday's entry. And this idea that when there's controversy, difficulty comes when we want to usurp the authority of the Holy Spirit for our own ends. And so I wonder, who decides with Hallow? Does the Holy Spirit need an app? So who decides for whom and what to pray? And to me, this gets to the heart of the Pentecostal moment. I think this time of year especially, we would all do well to review the Pentecostal story, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because I think there is a counterfeit spirit at work today in America. There has been and there was then, as we read in the Bible, but I mean really an anti-Pentecostal spirit at work that seeks to minimize and marginalize. You know, can we agree that an app for prayer diminishes the work of the Holy Spirit? And so, as I mentioned on Tuesday, I believe it was, when speaking of the idea of blasphemy, Noah Webster mentioned that blasphemy includes that which derogates from the prerogatives of God. And I think that's exactly what we're talking about, diminishing the work of the Holy Spirit. Just something to think about. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Of the first hour. All right, let's just dive down the rabbit hole, shall we? Let's begin with yesterday's broadcast, the end of yesterday's broadcast, and a call from Dave in Texas, and we'll unpack that from there. So if we can do that, let's do that. The phones, Dave in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome. We have Dave in Texas. Good morning.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep.
I really love the way you try and enlighten everyone about, you know, the different esoteric things that have been brought into the gospel, and, you know, just to point it out for people to weigh in their own minds. I myself believe that the gospel of Paul was the incorporation of the esoteric into the Bible.
Okay.
I don't believe that the gospel of Paul is the gospel of Yeshua. And I don't think anybody that says that they have discernment can make that claim.
Okay. Well, you're certainly entitled to your opinion.
Well, you know, you've taken and totally negated the law of Yahweh with the gospel of Paul.
I wrote a piece about that back on October 11th, the authorship of Paul. It's titled Authorship of Paul.
I that may very well, I'm not familiar with what you wrote, but it's still, you know, the Yeshua walked the earth at the same time that Paul did, yet Paul never walked a step with Yeshua.
But
if
he
that
was confronted
give
by
one pause.
Jesus Christ, right, on the road to Damascus.
Pardon me?
I said he was confronted by Jesus Christ himself on the road to Damascus.
Was there a second witness?
There was more than a second witness.
That's what Paul says. Like I say, Yeshua was crucified, dead, and buried, and arisen at that time, correct?
Yes.
He did not meet Yeshua.
Resurrected, ascended.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did not meet Yeshua as a man on this earth, yet they walked the earth at the same time. You don't find anything wrong with that?
I'm not sure what your point is.
They were both alive walking the earth at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they never walked together on earth at the same time as men.
Well, I guess I don't...
Did the other apostles follow Yeshua as a man in person, physically?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Apostle Paul did not. You don't
right.
find pause with that? I do.
I understand your point.
That's a very crucial point. Especially when Yeshua said that there would be false prophets.
Absolutely.
My claim is that Paul was one of those.
Okay. I understand that. And my question would be, what exactly of the writings of Paul, which is 2/3 of the New Testament, what do you take issue specifically?
The universalism, the spiritualism, the putting away of the law. Paul did that. Yeshua didn't do that.
Jesus Christ said, I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He's the fulfillment of the
right.
law.
Right. Fulfilled does not mean discontinued.
How did Paul say it's discontinued?
Huh? He put it
how,
away.
How did he say it was away. Discontinued?
Huh? It was supplanted with faith. It's not very complicated, my friend.
Isn't Jesus superior to the law? Did we die to the law?
I'm sorry.
By faith in Christ?
Yahweh and Yeshua are the law.
No, that's incorrect, yeah. And that's exactly what I've gone through
isn't.
The last couple of days. Jesus Christ
word,
is superior
is the word
to
the
law.
Is the word the law?
No. The law was brought in as a tutor. Where do you?
Really?
Where do you?
Who,
can you chapter and verse that for me?
Who? According to who? Yeshua? Did Yeshua say that?
Chapter and
Paul
verse. Listen, chapter and verse for me. Where
chapter Jesus and verse is the from law. The New Testament, from Paul's writings, you mean?
No, no. Chapter and verse yes, for me, Dave. Yes. Dave, quit talking
chapter
over
me. Chapter and verse.
Dave.
Chapter
listen.
And verse.
Dave, listen. Chapter and verse for me where Jesus is the law. Not in the writings of Paul, somewhere else. You take issue with the writings of Paul. That's fine. Chapter and verse where Jesus is the law. Where is that?
I don't have that at my fingertips.
That's right. You don't, because you won't find it anywhere. It's legalism. The Judaizers are the ones who want to do that. And interestingly, Paul writes, he writes specifically against that. So, legalism. All right. So, before we unpack that a little bit, there are a couple other clips that I want to play as a, you know, I don't know about you, but maybe we need to, just listening to that makes me sweat. I want to unpack this a little bit for the purposes of edification. This is not an attack by any means, but I want to unpack it a little bit because I think it will be edifying, you know, for posterity's sake, if nothing else, shall we say. So to begin, let's play a couple of clips from another piece. Ironically, discussion Q&A session between Ron Mattson and Chuck Missler back in 2016. It's on YouTube. It's actually titled Flat Earth ? Paul's Writings Forged ? QA 1st June 2016 Mattson Missler. So first clip, about a minute and a half. So first clip, go ahead, please.
One of them. Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to the next question here. This is from Eleanor, and she says, well, here you go. My daughter recently brought to my attention a new book on the market called Forgeries by Bart D. Ehrman, who was once a fundamentalist and now is an agnostic. Ehrman states that all the Apostle Paul's writings were forged, and how could Peter write when he was a fisherman? My question is, how do I refute this to my daughter who is immature in her walk and wants to lead her boyfriend to Christ? That's a complicated situation there, but essentially, again, feeds right in this idea. Somebody writes a book and says, just wants to dismiss.
He says he's an agnostic, and the word agnostic means I don't know.
Right.
I don't.
And yet he's putting himself up as an expert.
Yes, exactly. And furthermore, it's his burden to show that he wasn't authentic, but there's been plenty of studies that really authenticate Paul. We can go down that path lots of different ways. Mm-hmm. And it's Bart D. Ehrman's burden to show that he's correct. He's not our...
We can't refute, yes.
Yeah, it's he has the burden of proof here, in my mind, at least. And but this Matthew write? Well, he not only had to write, he had to take shorthand. He was a tax collector; that was required.
Right.
Tachygraphic writing. They had a form of shorthand, and to be a tax collector, you had to have skill in that.
Mm. So we've gone past the point of no return, so to speak. Didn't mean to go quite that far, but that's okay. So you get the idea there. And speaking of the authorship of Paul, even Wikipedia, you can jump on Wikipedia, authorship of Pauline epistles on Wikipedia, which is not a Christian resource by any means, by any stretch of the imagination. And even Wikipedia lists 7 of the epistles of Paul out of the 13 that are generally, you know, attributed to Paul as undisputed. And by the way, drawing from Bart Ehrman's work, and, you know, furthermore, who decided Bart Ehrman was an authority anyway? I digress. You know, a guy who calls himself agnostic, I would call him confused. This always comes from a certain place. I'll get to that in a little bit. But first, backing up in this, another clip that I think is apropos here. Go ahead, please.
And leave them with that. And they don't have to read it if they don't want to, but it's their choice.
Right, absolutely. Well, the sense for most people, I think, Paul tells Timothy to study to show yourself approved, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. And I think that a lot of times people don't understand how to defend their faith because they haven't put in the hours in the sense of allowing the Holy Spirit to take the word of God and make it alive to them. That's
our
very powerful.
Our whole life. In our ministry has been focused on one thing, and that's trying to repair the biblical illiteracy, not just in the pews, but in the pulpits.
Yeah.
It's astonishing to come to grips with the reality that most pastors don't know their Bible. They went to seminary and they learned a lot of interesting things. They haven't learned their Bible. And trying to repair biblical illiteracy has been the passion we've had from the beginning, not just for the guy sitting in the pew, but for the guy in the pulpit, both, I believe, have manifested themselves as being biblically illiterate. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing that needs to be repaired.
Yes. Another.
So, a bit of backdrop, a bit of context. Let's begin. Actually, you know what? Well, let me return to 1 John. Or excuse me, not 1 John, John chapter 1. And starting in verse 14, and the word became flesh. You know, actually backing up the first five verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Skipping forward to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has a rank higher than I, for He has existed before me, and indeed He is the pre-existent one. For of His fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So, there's that. Or in the King James, verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So, that obviously is not the writing of Paul, but you know, that's kind of where we begin. So, Dave in Texas says, I believe the gospel of Paul was the incorporation of the esoteric in the Bible, and he doesn't believe the gospel of Paul is the gospel of Yeshua, is how Dave put it. So maybe we start with 2 Peter 3, 5, or excuse me, 3, 15 and 16. Peter said, regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, our beloved brother Paul. Peter did walk a few steps with Jesus, right? During Jesus' earthly ministry, obviously. Peter did. So regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. So here we see Peter, who obviously did walk with Jesus during his earthly ministry, canonizing Paul. So Peter canonized Paul, despite Paul's confronting him, by the way, face to face on Peter's legalistic tendencies. So why wasn't Peter concerned that Paul wasn't an eyewitness to Jesus Christ pre-resurrection? We will continue when we return. Stick around. We'll be right back.
That mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, so we've seen in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, our beloved brother Paul, the other scriptures, Peter canonized Paul, despite Paul's confronting Peter. Why wasn't Peter concerned that Paul wasn't an eyewitness to Jesus' pre-resurrection? And for that matter, why did Luke write about Paul throughout the book of Acts, obviously? But then Luke, admittedly, in Luke 1:2, wasn't an eyewitness either, so do we throw him out too? My questions would be, on what basis do you refute the canonicity of Paul when Peter canonized Paul and Jesus Christ was another eyewitness? We'll get to that. More to the point with what specifically, you know, of Paul's authorship does one take issue? And that's usually something very specific, and I'll get to that too. My experience is that it is typically the Judaizer or the works-based legalism bondage influence that disputes Paul's authorship. I'm not sure what Dave meant by the gospel of Paul. I don't know exactly what that means. And, you know, as far as Paul is concerned, we don't know. We can't say that he never walked with Jesus. We know that his conversion occurred on the road to Damascus. That we know. And Jesus Christ himself was a witness to that, as was intimated to the disciple Ananias. So, but I don't know what you meant, Dave, by the gospel of Paul, which you kept saying. I think, you know, based on what you said, that, you know, is you're insinuating that it is a, you know, Paul had a counterfeit message. You mentioned Jesus saying that there would be false prophets, and you said my claim is that Paul was one of those. I suppose that's what you meant. I know, I don't know exactly, but I know in Romans, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That's Romans 1:16. Continuing, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood." Again, there's that propitiation. "We shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Romans 5:6-8-11. We'll continue when we come back. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.